Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefing time now. Dr. Thomas Moran is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Moran, good morning. We need to find out what's going on with norovirus cases and also flu around here. What's the latest?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Norovirus, it's one of those viruses that everybody dreads. It's highly contagious. It's easy to get infected if you come in contact with it. 10 viral particles can infect a human being, and it spreads pretty quickly from human to human. The cases are increasing mostly into winter. People think of this virus as like a cruise ship or nursing home virus, but with the holiday parties and everybody getting together, various ages from the very young to very old, it's very easy if one person comes in and has the virus to kind of infect it across the entire family or the population of the event. It's one of those nasty bugs that affects everybody. The biggest thing you got to learn with norovirus is it's really wash your hands before you touch your face, your nose, or your mouth. Symptoms usually start 12 to 48 hours after you get infected. Usually lasts 1 to 3 days. And again, the very old and the very young are more susceptible to getting dehydrated. There's no real treatment for it other than supportive care, making sure you stay hydrated. And it's one of those bugs, like I said, it's wash your hands as well as you can before you start eating or touching your face.
And what have you noticed about flu in our area? Increase in cases?
Yes. Flu has increased across the state of Illinois and really across the United States in general. Respiratory illnesses are really affecting a lot of people. Many of the hospitals are full with respiratory illnesses, and flu being one of the primary one of them. Again, it is if you're feeling sick, put a mask on to protect others. Wash your hands frequently from, being around others. And stay home if you're not feeling well so you don't get others sick with it. And if you haven't had the flu vaccine, get the flu vaccination.
Sounds like with norovirus and the flu, we're talking about the same rules we had at the height of the pandemic. Let's move on to, I think, what a lot of people are thinking about now. They made a resolution to be healthier, and they're thinking about diet and exercise, and some interesting new research has come out on this that also really points to an active social life being good for us. Tell us more about all this.
Yeah, it is one of those things of moderation and balance in your life. So if you think of how do you have a good health span where you live healthy and active life, it's really a good balanced diet that decreases those foods that can contribute to diseases. So lower your red meat, salt intake, processed foods, and sugar. Have a more balanced fish, vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts, olive oil. Kind of think the Mediterranean diet. Food is medicine, if you think of it that way. And healthy food helps decrease inflammation, which can lead to chronic illnesses or exacerbate those illnesses that you already have. And the other thing to really consider about just diet in general, cook for yourself, cook healthy whole foods, and try and limit all those processed foods. The other part of it in the kind of triple kind of way of looking at health is exercise. The more we exercise, the more mobile we are, the better our joints are, our balance, our flexibility as we get better movement around. It helps with your mood. Walking with others actually helps. Use a little weights and try balance. Balance is one of the things as we get older that we get a little unsteady with it that contributes to fall and contributes to fractures and bedriddenness on older individuals. The biggest thing with exercise is consistency. Same thing with diet. Be consistent with your diet. And the third is socialization. Loneliness is one of those factors that contributes to disease and risk. Sharing your life with other people, those that you love, your friends, help leads to a healthier life. Exercise with friends, walk with friends and family, work out together. Keep in touch with those around you that you love and friends. That socialization really helps you stay healthy overall, keep your focus intact, your mood good, and helps you do the other two things, which is eat well and exercise at the same time.
Yeah, really. Lately, mounting evidence pointing to an active social life being an important part of our health.
Yeah.
With the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran, we've been talking about dieting and this new research about an antioxidant-rich diet helping reduce pain levels is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When you think about it, like I said earlier, food is really medicine, and there's a lot of foods that can increase our inflammation in our body. And the study looked at individuals that have chronic pain. In America, about 30% of the population has chronic pain or pain lasting more than 3 months. A lot of it is inflammatory. So what we put in our body can contribute to that. And what the study found, especially more in women than in men, is those that ate really good, low inflammatory foods like berries, olive oils, green leafy vegetables, fish and nuts, you know, olive oil, the diet we really look at as a Mediterranean diet, had overall decrease in their pain levels, and they also kind of had a little bit increase in their strength. So it's another plus to say eat a very balanced, whole, healthy diet that fuels your body well and actually helps decrease your overall chronic conditions that you may have, and it could at times limit you developing some of those chronic conditions. So think of healthy food as medicine.
Interesting that this pertains more to women than men, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're going to need more studies to kind of look at this, and there really wasn't any relationship to the amount of fat that an individual had on their body or their BMI status overall. It was more related to the diet. So there need to be more studies to go through of why it affected women more than men.
We pay a lot of attention to our cholesterol numbers, but these new studies actually are telling us that people with higher overall cholesterol live longer. What's the story on this?
So I think the best way you could look at it is cholesterol is essential for our cells. We need it to survive. The cholesterol test that we do that looks at our total cholesterol is a number. Then we break that down into those carrying devices, high-density lipoproteins and low-density lipoproteins, or LDLs and HDLs, that we labeled as good and bad cholesterol. It's not the cholesterol per se that's there, it's the carrier. And that carrier can invade our blood vessels. So low-density lipoproteins have a more chance of penetrating the artery wall that can lead to plaques. But when you think of this overall, it's a number. And that number is got to be looked at in your overall health and your risk factors. You know, someone trying to improve their number to a point where it's really, really low doesn't necessarily benefit them. It is in context with your overall health and well-being that you discuss with your doctor, because you have risk factors that are there. Mm-hmm. So just having a number that looks good doesn't mean that you're not at risk of having a heart attack if you smoke, don't exercise, eat unhealthy, and have diabetes, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you can control it, but you have other risk factors that are there to contribute to it. So the best thing you could do is really understand what your numbers are in the context of your health with your clinician to make a good plan for you. And I would say the best thing you could do is, like we talked about, it's a healthy diet, have a consistent exercise regimen, you know, have a good social network that you have, limit your alcohol consumption, and don't smoke.
I was reading about this this cholesterol study. Actually, it gets into how the particle size is what matters more than the numbers. And I guess what it's saying, we should pay more attention to the ratio of triglycerides to the HDL number. Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, they look at your HDL to LDL number, and we always say that we'd like more HDLs, a higher number for your HDLs than your LDLs. But you can have very low cholesterol overall, like you could look like you're in the green and doing well. But you can have high triglycerides, which contributes to your overall risk of developing disease. You can have low triglycerides, low cholesterol overall, and still have coronary artery disease. So it's in the context of your whole health. That's why people fixating on one number doesn't really, it's not really the thing that's going to keep you healthy. Being healthy is a collection of steps that we have to take, and what we can prevent as much as possible for ourselves is what we put in our body, how we move our body, and how we actually interact with others to keep us healthy.
Yeah, and the other side of that, I guess, is bad cholesterol numbers don't necessarily mean you're in trouble, do they?
No. No, not necessarily, because someone can have a little bit elevated cholesterol, but they can have no plaque formation whatsoever. They don't have diabetes. They don't smoke. Their risk factors are lower overall for developing coronary artery disease.
I feel healthier already. Thank you, Dr. Thomas Moran, Northwestern Medicine, and I look forward to our visits this year. Thank you very much.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.